Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me is my co-host, the OG of Football Garbage Time, Scott King. How you doing, Scott?
I'm good. Happy to be talking about football players, not hitting each other, but they're actual football players.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you've been going kind of nuts here about the entire NASCAR stuff, though, right? I mean, you've been really tracking that pretty closely. So it's not like you have less to talk about, or yes, to yell about, I should say.
I've cashed three DFS lineups 3 weeks in a row, so started off hot this season.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Well, there's nothing that makes watching sports better than being really good at picking those types of parlays. So good work there, man. We're going to talk about today, though, the NFL. As you said, there is NFL players doing stuff, not hitting each other. But it's the NFL Scouting Combine, and there's a lot to talk about. And, of course, some late-breaking news about Mike Evans, Russell Wilson, and, of course, Jason Kelce. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. All right, so the big news, of course, is Tampa Bay Buccaneers five-time Pro Bowl receiver Mike Evans reached an agreement on a two-year, $52 million contract that includes $35 million guaranteed. And that's another guy who is now off the free agency. Of course, there was some rumors that Kansas City was looking at trying to pick him up, but he will be there now into the future and potentially back with Baker Mayfield, who they've been trying to get re-signed and who's indicated that he wants to re-sign. So they may be getting the band back together. So what do you think here the impact is with regard to Mike Evans for the Buccaneers and for the rest of free agency?
Yeah, I think you hit on it. It has to do with Baker Mayfield. I mean, you know, good for him. He got his money and he's been there a while. I think that, you know, the cap went up like $50 million or something next year. So
yeah,
there's money to go around.
Right.
But I think it'll all come down to whether Baker comes back, which, you know, this is probably one of those moves to entice him to come back. I think, you know, Baker had a pretty rough start to his career, but he's come around. And I think, you know, pair him up with Mike Evans and they make a run at the division and you never know. So I think it's a good move for the franchise as long as they can grab a quarterback to go with them.
Yeah, and I think Baker Mayfield had actually indicated that he liked playing with Mike Evans. He wanted Evans to be back. He also wanted to be back himself. And as you mentioned, single largest increase in overall cap space in the NFL since the cap was started. So that's got to be part of the calculus here in them putting up this big contract here for Mike Evans on a two-year contract. I mean, this is not even something that's a long-term extension. This is like a little bit of a short-term rental in which they were going to guarantee $35 million. So it's basically a do-or-die type of moment for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because they may be out of cash at some point in the not-too-distant future and out of good quality players. That leaves T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, Odell Beckham Jr., and Michael Thomas as the top free agent wide receivers out there. Any thoughts on who else of those guys are going to be signed next?
I thought I read today that T. Higgins got tagged. Has that not happened yet?
No, it could be. That very well could be. Oh, actually, you know what? T. Higgins has been tagged, but I suppose
okay.
That there is a possibility that he won't play on the tag. I guess we'll see what happens there.
Yeah,
he'll be franchise tagged.
I think it's going to be an interesting run. I was just looking. The franchise tag on wide receivers 21, so 2 years 35 is kind of a little bit of a discount over tagging him.
Yeah.
But, I think it's.
I mean, they could trade him. You know, they could definitely
cap.
Trade T. Higgins too. You know, that's another way they can move this along, I suppose.
Yeah, the this cap is really going to be interesting for how teams can play this. You know, it gives them some wiggle room on maybe signing some of these guys that they were willing to walk away from.
Yeah, right. Right, so it'll be interesting to see what this all kind of boils down to. And to be absolutely honest, I think some of the other names on that list there are getting a little bit long in the tooth. I mean, Michael Thomas has not been relevant in a while now. And, of course,
yeah.
We know that that Odell Beckham Jr. is a little bit more of a role player at this point. I don't think he qualifies so much as a guy who will be the featured guy in any type of offense at this point in time. So a couple big questions rotating around there, and we'll see exactly how that's going to play out. Now, the other big announcement today is that Russell Wilson will be released after two seasons with the team. That is a pretty big hit for the Denver Broncos, who signed Wilson to a five-year, $245 million extension after trading away several first-round picks and three players in order to get him just a little bit ago. Of course, the went on to be 13-21 under Wilson's time, and Sean Payton decided to bench Wilson and started Jarrett Stidham. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. So what are your thoughts here in terms of Russell Wilson and the Broncos? Clearly the problem, of course, is that the team, by releasing him at this timing, avoid paying $37 million in guarantees in 2025, but they still owe Wilson $39 million in 2024, and they will have to pick up the slack of that if he doesn't get paid by any other team. Chances are he won't get much more than the veteran's minimum of $1.2 million, so that means they might be on the hook combined in terms of their guarantee, their salary cap hit, and so on, of upwards of $40 million. So what do you think here in terms of the Broncos and Russell Wilson?
Yeah, this has just been a disaster, right? I mean, they traded, you mentioned it, players, picks, future picks. I mean, this makes Seattle look like geniuses, and Denver just looks
sure
like
do.
Clowns.
Exactly. Particularly with Geno Smith, right? I mean, they actually hit the ground running and do better without Wilson after picking up all that capital. So that's it does not reflect well on the Broncos organization.
I mean, you're talking two firsts, seconds, a fourth, a fifth, a couple of seconds, Noah Fant, Drew.
Right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. They traded their future, and they're going to be paying this price for a long time. He's a disaster. I mean, the high knees on the plane going over to London, he just sounds like a clown, and he's just turned into this, like, caricature of a football player, and his whole team three, and talks about himself in third person and shoots his own promo videos of it's just a disaster.
Getting a little over the top, yeah.
Yeah, he'll land somewhere, but Denver's got a hole that they're going to be digging out of for years to come.
And they gave away draft picks for Sean Payton as well, so don't forget that.
Yeah.
So they've cleared the coffers. There's nothing left to trade for the Denver Broncos. And I can say one thing. If I never hear Russell Wilson say "Let's ride" again, it'll be too soon.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. So thank goodness for small miracles. But we'll see what happens here, because quite frankly, there's a lot of QB needy teams out there. And I wouldn't be surprised to see some team pick up Russell Wilson as a bridge quarterback, draft high on a quarterback in the upcoming draft, and let him sit. And, you know, Wilson is a guy who has a lot of experience there. I'm sure he doesn't want to be a bridge quarterback, but he probably wouldn't mind taking a prove-it type deal and being a mentor for one of the drafted quarterbacks. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, particularly if they could get him for somewhere around the veteran's minimum, because quite frankly, he's getting his cash from Denver no matter what. So if he wants to stick it to Denver, why not take a chance someplace else and see if he can stick it to Denver, right?
Absolutely. He'll get a job, but man, he is falling off. I mean, he is just falling way up from where he was. It's embarrassing.
Absolutely embarrassing, in fact. But I guess we can't say we didn't all see this coming, except for those in Denver who thought they were coming to double the Super Bowls in 12 more years of Russell Wilson. As you might recall, that was his proclamation when he got that big deal in his opening introduction press conference, where he guaranteed he'd play for 12 more years for Denver and double the number of Super Bowls they have. He has done none of that. So there you go.
No.
What can you do? All right, last little nugget from the news, Jason Kelce. We all knew it because of the way he reacted at the end of the game in the playoffs, but he announces his retirement after 13 seasons in the NFL, probably one of the greatest centers in league history. He had 7 Pro Bowl selections, 6 first-team All-Pro selections, and, of course, the Super Bowl title against those hated Patriots, at least at the time. Now they're kind of pitiful Patriots. But this will certainly impact the Philadelphia Eagles, who had problems protecting Jalen Hurts in the second year as a starter, I should say. It wasn't the second year as a starter, it was his fourth year. But his second year as a starter, and really they had a massive, massive slide from that point forward. What do you think here, Jason Kelce, and, of course, the impact on the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, definitely, you know, has become a bigger personality, I'd say, the last few years. And also now with his brother having the podcast, I think I'd have to look back, but I'm pretty sure Jason was much higher touted coming out of college than Travis was. So,
oh yeah,
kind of interesting to see how their, you know, careers have gone. Yeah, I mean, the Eagles had just their complete and total implosion at the end of the year. I could have told them that when they hired Matt Patricia, that it was, their offense was going to suck. And they've got some work to do. I mean, they really just kind of fell apart and lost their way a little bit. And I think the coach needs to be careful. There's a lot of love for him in town. But if he puts up a season like they ended last year, he'll be out of a job.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, obviously Jason Kelce, the less I mean, aside from being the more overstated fan, as we saw him in the box without a shirt and a beer, but the more understated player he actually, during his announcement and retiring with the Philadelphia Eagles earlier today, he said, "I admit I am officially overrated. I am vastly overrated," which is clearly him being just magnanimous there. Clearly, Kelce, an important part of that offensive line, and that will be a significant impact. We'll see what the Eagles do in order to make up for that. But let's now turn our attention to the subject of our podcast, and that is the NFL Combine. Let's hit the boxing bell on that and move on here. And let's talk about the guys that we have been we've been looking at and who made the biggest jumps here, who really caught our attention. And I will promise everyone that we will not spend the entire time talking about Xavier Worthy, okay? And in fact, I will go ahead and put a pin in that because I know that everybody and their son is talking about Xavier Worthy. And I think we should – it's definitely worth talking about. But let's go to you first here. What do you have on your list, Scott, of folks that you are looking at that made the impression for you, either good or bad, at the NFL Combine this past weekend?
Mine are all sort of revolve around guys I've been watching for the Lions to take. And I'll start with one from my hometown of Toledo, Ohio, Rocket. Kenyon Mitchell, the cornerback.
Oh, he is absolutely, you know, blew the doors off this weekend.
Yeah, he was great. I've been tracking him since the end of the season, and, you know, unfortunately, I think he outperformed the Lions draft, so they'll have to trade up to get him. But, you know, he performed well. Small school, you know, Toledo, the Rockets don't get a lot of pub.
Yep.
But, you know, he definitely showed out, and, you know, good for him. And, you know, I'm sure somebody will grab him. Detroit would have to trade up to get him. But he was definitely one. You know, he helped himself in every way he possibly could this past week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell is one of the guys that I had spoken about at the last podcast, about guys that I thought had a real potential for improving his draft stock because he had – really, again, he balled out during the regular season. He absolutely balled out during the Senior Bowl. And then he gets to the NFL Combine. If he blows the doors off, he's going to be one of those guys who will be rocketing up those big boards. And he did exactly that, 4.33 second, 40-yard dash for Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, it was eye-opening what he was able to do. From cornerbacks, the second best time. Only Nate Wiggins out of Clemson had a better time than he did. But of all the guys who showed up there, I mean, he really did leave an impression in terms of his drills. And he was incredibly, incredibly agile. I mean, he looked great all across the board. And it looks like that, you know, he may have taken over the top spot for cornerback, I think, above and beyond Alabama's Terrion Arnold. I think that based on this performance, based on his performance in the Senior Bowl, he might have outperformed a lot of our draft picks, you know, to kind of zoom up the board here as being actually the number one cornerback taken in the draft. And you like to see that from a guy coming out of Toledo. I love that pick right there, Kenyon Mitchell. And he's a guy like I said, that I was looking at, I thought was going to be really good, and he definitely blew the doors off at the combine. Who else you got?
I've got a guy who wasn't able to work out at the combine, but I do want to drop his name just because partly it's fun, partly I want Detroit to grab him.
Okay.
Kool McKinstry, the corner out
yeah.
of Alabama,
yeah.
Ended up with a bone break in his foot, but he's going to do his pro day and then get surgery. Sounds kind of a weird deal,
yeah.
but
I feel like he shouldn't do that. Get a surgery
yeah.
first and get it done.
Missed him at the combine, but, you know, he was there. A little bit of draft preview. I think at 29, especially with this injury, it actually makes him a really good target for Detroit. And it's pretty clear the Lions have a lot of respect for former coach Saban's players because they love to target him. So, Kool-Aid wasn't able to work out. Love to say his name. And, I think he's going to be sitting there for Detroit at 29, and he seems like one of their guys. So hopefully his foot isn't too messed up.
Yeah, so I love that as well, and I, of course, love the name Kool-Aid. I mean, how can you not like a player named Kool-Aid being on your team? But that being said, I mean, obviously I don't think he's going to do himself any favors running at his pro day. I mean, I think that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he won't be 100%. And he's already got enough pub that he probably will get a high draft pick anyway. And that raises a question here I have for you, Scott, and that is with the fact that there are a number of high-profile, for the first time, really, there's a number of high-profile guys who decided not to participate in the combine. Last year, both Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud did participate. This year, Caleb Williams decided not to participate. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't participate. Drake May did not participate. Malik Nabers didn't participate. Brock Bowers did not participate. And, of course, Jaden Daniels did not participate. So the top three quarterbacks in the class, the top wide receiver in the class, top tight end in the class, all of them sat on the sidelines. In fact, I believe that Caleb Williams didn't even show up for the news conference portion of the combine. They had a podium set up for him, and it was crowded, and he never even showed. He didn't even tell anybody. So, I mean, there is certainly an impact here, and my question is, if you are already a top prospect going into the draft, is there anything to be gained by going to the NFL scouting combine? It seems to me that you could only prove to people that they were wrong about you, that you can't really do anything to increase where you're going to get drafted if you're already one of those guys who are going to go in the first round, and you run the risk of injury or outing as some sort of vulnerability in your game by running a bad drill. And there are a couple guys that I like to point out who ran bad drills, like Spencer Rattler, who obviously had to go because he had the big Senior Bowl performance, got the Senior Bowl MVP, and was kind of not in the running. But he ended up grading out almost the bottom of every quarterback at every drill. So clearly did not help his cause at all for an NFL draft. So what do you think here? Is there anything to be gained for a first-round prospect to actually participate in the NFL scouting combine, at least the drills part?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know how much of it you actually got to watch live, but I had it on Saturday and Sunday sort of in the background doing some different mm-hmm. things. And I saw guys grabbing hamstrings. I saw another guy grab a groin. I saw guys yeah. stop mid-40. And so that was just over the course of, I don't know, 24 guys running, I saw a handful of them get injured. And
right.
I think that's the key, right? You get the Kool-Aid McKinstry thing, they caught it before in his medical, but
right.
you go out there and you run a 40 and you pull a hamstring. Now, you got to fix that. You got to answer questions about it, or even worse, or not worse. I mean, you could get even worse injury than that, but if you're supposed to be a Marvin Harrison Jr., what if he goes out there and runs like a 4.7 or some ridiculous thing like that?
Right.
Now
right.
what? You don't know because it's a – you can see the guys who have trained for the combine, right? I mean, it's training for – it's like studying for a specific test. It doesn't necessarily show your overall intelligence. It just shows you're able to study these, 8 things for the test. So –
right, right.
I definitely
right.
don't think there's any value. The interviews and the medical and all that, for sure. But
right.
I don't blame guys for sitting out because, like I said, over the course of however many guys I watched, 20 guys, three or four of them were hurt. And
right.
And then what? You know, so, yeah, it's definitely
right.
an issue.
And the other thing about it is that, you know, I think Jaden Daniels and, you know, at least Jaden Daniels, actually, and probably Malik Nabers as well, I think they said they're going to run drills and run the 40 at their pro day. And, I have not yet seen any scout say, oh, they didn't run at the combine, they only ran at their pro day, so I'm going to, you know, knock them down a notch and not bother to put them up there as a prospect. So the question is, why even bother going to the combine if you are one of those top, I mean, even a second round, you know, drafted, second round projected pick. I mean, unless you really want to you think you have some ability to vault over, why not just go to your pro day? I mean, why go to the NFL combine when all your tape will be released and circulated from your pro day, particularly from the bigger schools like those in the SEC? So what do you think about that? I mean, is there anything to be gained from these guys even going to the combine? I mean, why not go to your own pro day?
I think from what I hear, you know, you've got the medical part, which doesn't get a lot of talk about unless they have an issue. And
right.
just you can meet everyone, right? I mean, you
right.
watch the coverage and they're panning around and it's Mike McDaniel in a booth and his like man capris and flip flops or whatever.
Right.
And it's sort of the social event of it or whatever, you know, it's like kind of seen and be seen. And I'm sure there's advertisers there now. People are inking marketing deals. I'm sure there's a lot more going on than just, you know, the on-field stuff. I did see a little bit of a story. Caleb Williams, following some drills, was like the last guy off the field and made his way around and like thanked all the people who were there working and everyone that was running the drills. Now, maybe his agent told him to do it. Maybe it was a publicity thing, but it sort of caught my eye that, you know, here's a guy who definitely didn't need to be there. And,
right.
you know, took some time to, you know, at least show somewhat of a human side. And, you know, again,
yeah.
it could easily be set up by a PR company. But, you know, you pick up little things, conversations, you know, does somebody go there and get hammered and can't show up to a meeting or something? And then you realize
right.
maybe they're not immature. So I think there's ways to kind of see how people behave, I guess, let's say.
I totally agree with that. I think I was kind of referring only to the drills portion of it, maybe just doing that at the friendly confines of your pro day. But yeah, I totally agree. There is something to be said about making those connections. And, of course, I'm gonna assume the best for Caleb Williams. I mean, he managed to skip out on talking to reporters, but he did make himself, as you say, go around and you know, congratulate everybody and tell everybody what a great job everyone was doing on the field after the drills. So that, I mean, that is a little bit of a character driven issue. I don't know if it's PR. I'm going to assume it was him, but it was good to see things like that popping up. Anybody else on your list that you are keeping an eye on?
Yeah. Tavondre Sweat, D tackle, big guy out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably early second mid big guy up the middle. I think he had a pretty good big guy run, and just really keeping an eye on him and think he did well for himself. We'll just have to see if he gets too much publicity and bounces into the first round.
Right.
That unless Detroit grabs him late, but that was another big guy. And then just Penix Jr. You may have had him on your list as well. I'm not
yeah.
a fan. I honestly didn't watch a bunch of Washington ball this year, but
right.
I watched the national championship and I hate his delivery. I know
yeah.
he's a lefty, but he throws the Philip Rivers shot put ball. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to make it in the league. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, no, I think that is going to be, you know, it's interesting because there's so few quarterbacks that participated in the combine, at least on the on-field position drills. I mean, on the 40-yard dash, there was only four who performed during the 40-yard dash. I mean, that's kind of indicative of what it's become. As far as vertical, there were five in terms of the drills. So, like, you know, you get to see some of the subjective drills, I should say, you know, running, you know, having those guys run routes and throwing a deep ball, running, you know, throwing to your left, throwing to your right, doing those types of things. I feel that's more subjective evaluation. You can't put numbers on something like that. Anything that had to do with numbers, most of the quarterbacks basically sat out. I mean, other than J.J. McCarthy, Sam Hartman, and Spencer Rattler, most of the other quarterbacks that we've been talking about weren't really involved at all. Which makes for it very difficult for you to make an assessment because you have no idea what's good and what's bad. I mean, I could say Spencer Rattler was terrible because he was the worst of the four, but what does that really mean? You know, I mean, it doesn't really mean a whole lot right there. All right, let me go ahead and talk about the guy I mentioned at the top of the hour, and that was Xavier Worthy. Of course, he set the world on fire literally by running a 4.21 40-yard dash, managed to beat out John Ross, who had the 40-yard dash record for the last 7 years at 4.22, who, and when he ran it, managed to beat out CJ2K, who had a 4.24. So 4.21, the official 40-yard dash there for Xavier Worthy. I mean, it's really interesting to me because I can tell you that even with that, I'm still a lot more interested in Adonis Mitchell, the other wide receiver, the guy who I had in my, I was kind of tracking to begin with, but that's something that's incredibly eye-opening. When you have that kind of breakout speed and you can use that in terms of as a returner, as well as, you know, kind of blowing the cap off, blowing the top off of defenses. I mean, that's got to raise some eyebrows. Remember that John Ross was able to elevate himself into the first 10 picks of the 2017 draft just by doing that. I mean, obviously he did a lot more before that, but that 40-yard dash really did elevate his status in the draft. Xavier Worthy, is he going to be worth it? And no pun intended, is Xavier Worthy worthy of a top 10 pick in the NFL draft?
Yeah, so I thought, you know, I watched him run and it was very exciting, obviously, right? I mean, he was pumped for it. It was his goal. I think he ran a 4.25 and then wanted to come back and beat it. But yeah. You know, you go back and look at John Ross, right? Like, his career stats are abysmal and he wasn't able to translate it onto the field. And you know, the only one in this sort of speedster class that was able to really put together a career was CJ2K. So, which I remember playing him in Madden and also probably drafting him many times. And
that's right. Fantasy football.
Fantasy. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's exciting, you know, good for the player. He'll get a bunch of hype, you know, go back and look at his film, but there hasn't really been a lot of these speedsters, that pure speed guys that have been able to translate. You know, we could go back. Trayvon Austin? Was he one that was really fast receiver?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Coming out. Yeah. There's been a handful of these guys who are like super speedsters and it just doesn't
translate.
So
yeah,
good for him. You know, we'll see what he does. Yeah, Trayvon Austin ran a 4.34, but never really.
Yeah.
I remember he was going to be a blazing guy. You know, hopefully he can get it figured out, but, you know, it doesn't usually translate too well to the league.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, that being said, Xavier Worthy also fourth highest vertical jump, you know, amongst wide receivers. Fifth longest broad jump. I mean, he didn't blow the doors off of every drill, but he was consistently in that top five. And in addition to having that blazing speed, I feel like someone is going to take him in the top 10 just because they think that his blazing breakaway speed can be game changing. And they want to be able to try to harness that. That's like lightning in the bottle. Maybe top 10 is a little bit too aggressive. Maybe I'll say first round maybe in the top 20, 25. Because, quite frankly, I'd rather have his running mate, Adonai Mitchell. I think he also did really, really well. He'd actually set the highest broad, the longest broad jump, and managed to come in with one of the top verticals as well. And his 40-yard dash really was only a smidgen. I mean, actually, you just named it 4.34. So, I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at here. So I do think that Adonai Mitchell has done enough for him to go there. And I would actually prefer to take him. He's more of a proven commodity on the field during the regular season there in Texas. So I prefer to go with him. I think the one takeaway here, though, is that a lot of wide receivers did well at the combine.
Yeah.
And if you're a wide receiver needy team, then you got to love what you're seeing out there, because you got, I mean, Xavier Leggett, who I mentioned last week from South Carolina, did amazingly well, and he probably can be gotten sometime in the second or third round. And you have guys like Roma Dunze, who, of course, is going to be one of those guys who will go in the first or, you know, in the first round probably, maybe second or third in terms of wide receivers. I don't know if you saw this, or you probably saw this because you were looking at it on Saturday, but he stayed on the field. He was like the last guy off the field because he wanted to hit his target for the three cone, and he couldn't quite hit it, so he stayed out there. He stayed out there, and he kept doing it over and over again, and they finally had to tell him, you got to get off the field, man. We're shutting this place down. You got to see that, and you got to see the character, right? And I think that you see that these guys want it, and they're performing at a high level all across the board. I think there's a lot of potential there. And, of course, flying under the radar a little bit, the little brother of Christian McCaffrey, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver out of Rice, also performing well. And having a faster 40-yard dash than his brother, just FYI. So,
yeah,
you know,
I saw that. He beat him. I've got my Xavier Worthy prediction. So I was just looking at the draft order. So he's going to go 13 to Vegas because the Davises love speed. But he doesn't drop further than 24 and Jerry Jones in Dallas.
Oh,
so
definitely.
He's either going to go 13 or 24 because those are the two guys who love speed. And that's my prediction. He'll go in one of those two slots.
That would be a huge – I mean, and that in and of itself tells you a little bit of how impactful this is, because I think people were kind of looking at him as late first, early second, maybe mid-second even, and now everyone's talking about him as, you know, somewhere mid-first to late first, which is a huge jump up based on his performance. So he's a guy who definitely benefited from the NFL Combine in addition to basically every wide receiver, because, you know, I can see myself wanting to – draft any one of these wide receivers going back at least 20 deep. I think is there's potential here in order for them to make it in the NFL. And I'm just looking at the list, and someone's going to take Luke McCaffrey at some point, that's for sure. And then you got a whole bunch of other folks, like I said, like Xavier Leggett. You got Roman Wilson out of Michigan out there as well. And you have, you know, a lot of lesser known folks that are floating around there. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shapes up. Okay. One last thing I want to talk about, quarterbacks, because, of course, there are only a couple quarterbacks there. The top three are kind of set in stone. Who do you think the next guy is based on performance in the combine? Folks that people have been talking about, obviously, J.J. McCarthy is the one that's been on my radar. I'm not a fan of his from the regular season because he's from Michigan, but he's doing an awfully good job of proving that he might deserve to be that next guy up. But any other quarterbacks hit your radar as guys you think might be the next one drafted outside of the top three?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see – someone's going to fall in love with Penix, right? They're going to say, athletic, you know, strong enough arm, get him up there, you know, be able to do something. One guy you mentioned who didn't do well at the combine, but I've watched quite a bit at Oklahoma and again at South Carolina is Spencer Rattler. He's not going in the first round. He's not going in the second round. He's not going in the third round.
Right. But, he could be a value,
you know,
actually.
What's that?
I think he could be a value. I think there Spencer Rattler, you know, I think has some potential, and he's not going. And you're right. He's not going in the first two, three rounds based on his current performance.
Yeah, but I think you can. You know, you grab him, and I mean, he's better than Desmond Ridder, who I've been watching play here in Atlanta in person, who's just terrible. He needs to be out of the league. you know, I think Rattler could play better than him. He's got a good arm, you know, subpar talent at South Carolina, and, you know, blew Tennessee out of the water a couple of years ago. Just somebody that I'm going to keep an eye on, not saying he's starting anytime soon, but what did we start, 40-something quarterbacks last year in the league? So you got to be ready to play, and it wouldn't surprise me if he grabs a roster and is able to, you know, look halfway decent, you know, given some opportunity. So I'm not giving up on him just yet.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I agree absolutely with that. And I do think that Michael Penix probably really the next guy off, but there's also Bo Nix out there. And I'll throw another name in that. It's Joe Milton out of Tennessee. I thought he put on quite a show, really showed off his big arm at the combine. He was bombing them over 70 yards. I mean, the guy was just – it reminded me of Joe Flacco. You know, like he had that thing where he would kneel at the 25-yard line and throw the ball out of the end zone. I mean, that's what kind of felt here. Like Milton was like that guy. He was big arm. Who knows how that's going to translate. But you can't, you know, you can't put a price on being able to outkick the coverage with your arm. So there's something to be said there. And I think that Joe Milton is somebody that people are going to take a close look at. But I do think that J.J. McCarthy did a lot in order to kind of improve his status as well. I mean, everybody loves his intangibles, of course, and his leadership, quote-unquote, whatever that is. But I think that in terms of showing off his passing abilities, he did a pretty good job. Although he wasn't anywhere near to bombing 70 yards. They showed some highlights, and then one of them was him throwing that deep ball on an out route or on a go route, and he literally like made it the biggest arc on the planet in order to get it about 50 yards downfield. So maybe that's not going to be the strength in this game, but I do think that a lot of the other things, passing drills, did do well for J.J. McCarthy. He might be a guy that goes pretty soon thereafter, the top four, maybe after Penix and Bo Nix. All right. Any last guys you want to talk about before we ring the bell on this and hit the air horn? Because I have a bunch more, but I think that we kind of said it. I mean, my big takeaway, obviously, quarterbacks, the ones after the big three elevated their game a little bit, so they're back into view. Wide receivers, they're plentiful. They are amazing. There's going to be a deep, deep wide receiver class for the draft. Tight ends didn't really show out that much. Obviously, Bauer's not actually doing anything. I think there is going to be a lot of competition here at the cornerback as well. There'll be some deep cornerbacks that you can pick. I think it's going to be a really, really weak class of linebackers this year. Nobody really stood out there for me. I think there's a really weak class of running backs this year as well. Any additional thoughts from you?
No, I think that exactly sums it up. I'm looking for corners and defensive linemen for the Lions. So those are the groups I'm watching closely.
Yeah, and that will do quite well. I think you'll do quite well with that, particularly. So we'll see how that goes. And I am looking for a plan for the Chicago Bears. So I don't care what it is. Just have a plan, guys. I don't know what it is, but commit to it and let's do this. All right, let's hit the air horn on the show here. All right, Scott, why don't you give us your social media so people can follow you?
Yeah, check me out, NFL Fantasy_more. Lots of NASCAR right now, which may not interest a lot of people, but hitting some good DFS and got to bridge the gap till draft and then OTAs and then back on the field. So if you're looking for something to do on a Sunday, grab some
NASCAR. Isn't a half bad way.
NASCAR. Oh. and for an extra viewing pleasure, Saturday Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the Middle will be running the Xfinity series Saturday in Phoenix. So if you're looking for
Get
something
out.
To watch,
really?
Check out Malcolm in the Middle. So, yeah. He's
All right. I wonder if he'll stay in the middle. I mean, it seems like it would be, you know, on brand for him to do that. But, all right, Frankie Muniz running the Xfinity. That's fun. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in and wasting time with us. My name is Hakun Wong. You can find me on Twitter or /X at FB Garbage Time. Or you can find me on the Football Garbage Time page on Facebook. Until next time, we hope to give you a little more information on the off-season free agency, because free agency is opening up real soon. Not a lot of tags, but we'll cover all that too. And we'll be one step closer to the NFL draft. So stick in there and come back next week and enjoy your NFL week.